Oh, there's some good ones. Let's see. Color Me Bad.
Yeah, of course. A couple records.
I Adore Me More.
I Adore. Yep.
You need Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you.
Oh my God. Was that fourth or fifth grade dances?
That was the record.
Oh yeah. That was the last dance.
Like if you were making a mixtape for a girl.
Yeah. I wasn't that smooth in those days, but that was like I got a good dance to that one though. I got the girl that I liked in my class. She actually danced with me to that record.
Paul Abdul, Rush Rush. Hmm.
She had another. Paul Abdul had another record. Hold on. She had a couple. Yeah, there's Rush Rush.
Mariah Carey, Emotions. It's all 91. Man, 91.
Mariah got a couple records too. Should I add Milli Vanilli? Blame It on the Rain. Girl, You Know It's True.
Don't do that.
Gonna Miss You, Baby. Don't Forget My Number. What?
What else did Call Me Bad had? Oh, Time, Love, and Tenderness.
Oh wow. What did Kathy do?
Karen White, Romantic.
Oh, now you want to get... See? Hold on. Chill. All right. Hold on. I'm just... You know what? You don't use your Spotify anymore, but I'm just going to make this collaborative.
I still got an account.
Tell me how much bars.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Welcome, everybody, to Side B of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. You can catch Side A on clockradiospeakers.com, soundcloud.com/clockradiospeakers, 4thdistrict.com, Armand's personal Tinder account. No. What's going on, everybody? Follow Armand on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. As always, I'm here with Armand. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I'm deep in the abyss of 80s and 90s pop ballads, thanks to the End of Side A.
Yeah, End of Side A, you know, I try to troll Armand by getting to listen to The Dream covering Sam Cooke. And next thing you know, he's singing along to Michael Bolton. So if you haven't heard that, you should probably go check out Side A. But aside from Michael Bolton, there's a project to talk about from a dude who can really rap.
He's actually a friend of the show. He is somebody that I guess it'd be safe to say that we champion this artist, correct?
We have championed Pusha for a while. You and I have been fans of Pusha since the funeral.
Yeah, we were Clips fans when the funeral came out, but I think we were Pusha fans probably after Lord Willing is when he sort of began to sort of venture out as a solo artist and do R&B features and rap features, et cetera, et cetera. And it really, really turned up around 2005, 2006, right before Hell Hath No Fury, right?
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I feel like on the first Clips album, I feel like a lot of people, you know, I feel like they sort of had Pusha and Malice side by side.
Yep.
But you know, as time went on, Pusha clearly, and it's no shot at Malice, right? I mean, Pusha clearly like set himself apart, to me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and Malice to tell you, it's weird. Malice to tell you, Push is the better rapper, and Push to tell you, Malice is the better rapper.
But, they're brothers. I mean,
yeah, that's brother stuff,
right? And Push has had a really interesting like second act of his career. You know, typically when the veteran rapper gets signed by, you know, gets signed to the boutique label of the of the guy who's really big.
Yep.
It doesn't really work.
Right.
Or they never release an album.
Right.
But My Name Is My Name was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think we said it was the best rap album of a very, very heavy 2013. You had Jay, you had Drake. Pretty much everybody put out an album in 2013.
Yeah.
And, or 14.
It was 13 or 14?
2013. 13. And Pusha was far and away. Well, not far and away, but he definitely had the best rap album of the year to us.
Yeah, and for hip hop heads, you might have felt a certain way about some other albums, but it was one that real big hip hop fans certainly all universally agreed was really good. You know, like yep. We both liked the Drake album. Some people didn't really love it. You and I did not like the Jay-Z album. Some people really liked it, which continues to confound me. I liked Yeezus. You think it's the worst album you've ever heard in your life?
Oh so, no.
Are there worse albums?
Oh yes.
Oh goodness.
It was bad though.
But. Everybody could sort of sit there and go. I felt like it was a very contentious 2013. Like, not a whole lot of albums that everybody said, yeah, but Pusha was the album that people were like, yeah, that's a good album.
Yeah.
And really, like, just out of everybody who's on Good Music right now, I mean, who else? I mean, does anybody else? I mean, it's Pusha and Kanye, right? Does anybody else matter in good music?
I mean, who else is on good music? Sci-Hi?
I guess Sci-Hi. Mr. Hudson? Common, I don't know.
Let's say I haven't heard anything from Mr. Hudson. Common's not on good music anymore. No. Cuddy's not on good music anymore.
Right.
Big Sean, right?
Oh, Big Sean. Hello.
Big Sean, yeah.
Right. So.
Tiana Taylor's not on good music anymore.
Who?
Yo, LeBron, I want my 700% LeBron.
You set that one up. That was the alley.
I did.
Right, I forgot about Big Sean. What is it with black and white album covers this year? I'm just going off on a tangent right now. Is that the thing? That's a new move?
I think that's probably just like a Donda thing. I mean, good music long has this weird, dark
aesthetic.
Yeah, to much of what they do. So I ain't look at it no different. It's dark, but then there's the dove, and it represents purity and the evil. Like, yeah. All right. Just rap.
You don't want to get all fake deep on us?
Nah, not for Pusha T.
Mm, right. Okay. That's interesting.
I want to talk about this. Go ahead.
No. Because I was gonna actually talk about how we were expecting King Push, but got this instead. But do you want to say a little something?
No, because we'll end up talking about what I want to talk about.
Okay,
so go ahead.
So we thought we were getting King Push.
Yeah.
But instead, as a part of 2015's biggest trend, we get the mixtape that you got to pay for, or at least stream.
It's the prelude.
It's
So is mixtape a bad word now? Does mixtape have a different aesthetic nowadays where people have to call it prelude, motion picture? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think at all. I think it's more of like you're trying. I don't know. It's King Push - Darkest Before Dawn - the prelude. It's like, all right. You know what? You need a copy editor.
-
semicolon,
double space,
open bracket. Like, come on, like
tab.
Right. Just call it Darkest Before Dawn. Like, this isn't a movie title. Like.
Say the movie, dog.
It's a Zuby. No, this is 2015's trend. You can thank Drake for this. Everybody saw, if you're reading this, it's too late, get called by Drake a mixtape, like in magazine articles or whatever else. Like he clearly sees it as a different kind of project, but he also made people pay for it. And he proved that people will pay for it.
Yeah, they will.
Now, with the move to streaming, I don't know if this really matters as much, right? If we're in a world where people are actually paying outright, I understand why people are like, wait a minute, these are the throwaways and you're making me pay for it and I'm a fan of yours. But if you're paying the 10 bucks a month for your streaming, all you can eat anyway, what's the difference?
Right.
And then the other thing is, I'm sort of two minds about this phenomenon, right? The other thing is we've always wanted to hear the records that never made the album.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really your 1.5s. This is because it's funny with albums. We come from the generation where those would come out after the album drops.
Right. Except the difference now is I still think the mixtape has its place if you're an artist who samples and you're not getting them cleared. That's the Rick Ross approach.
Right.
Right. Rick Ross is an example of he put out mixtapes, but he put out mixtapes.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to deal with sample clearances. And then there's another third layer beneath that. So you've got the album. You've got the sort of mixtape-y album that we're still going to put on iTunes and Apple Music and Spotify. And then there's the, nah, it's actually still a mixtape. And then there's the, nah, I'm just putting stuff up on SoundCloud.
Right.
A lot of different places to put out music. And Pusha has decided to make this a quote-unquote project. I guess it's still an album. I don't think he's calling it... It's funny. I don't think he's calling it a mixtape. But it's very clearly, like... It's in the title, right? No, this is not King Push. It's okay.
Right.
So I don't know if this is leftovers. I don't know if this is he was in the studio. He's making stuff. He liked it. It didn't fit the theme of the other album. So he puts this out instead. I'm not really 100% sure. But this is definitely the new thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that trend?
I mean, again, we've talked about this at length where hip hop and just music in general is in a very open place where because the industry is changing, you sort of have the freedom to try different things to see what works and what doesn't work. I give it another 2 years at the most before there's a pretty routine way of getting your music out. But, you know, I mean, I ain't mad at it. It's the call it a prelude. It's rapper stuff. But at the end of the day, can we really be mad at Pusha dropping 6 months, you know, two albums in 6 months? I really feel like instead of, you know, your Justin Timberlake aesthetic or your Nas or your DMX, who put out, you know, multiple projects in a year, these records just seem to have been already done. And so when Push is talking about April, I could see that date sticking. I could see it being extended to maybe June or July, but I don't think this is a, I don't think this is a, let's put our toe in the water and see if what we can do with this Pusha music. I feel like this was a leverage move that Pusha was able to do because of his branding. And I want to talk about that in a second. And just Pusha T, the brand, the person having such a connection with the people. And then also, of course, him being signed to Kanye West, who, if Kanye pushes a button, then people got to move. And I think both of those things happened with this. So whatever, you know, two projects in within a year, I'm cool with it. I'll take it. Absolutely.
So talk about the brand of Pusha T, because I wasn't even thinking about that. So I'm interested to hear.
I think, and Pusha, well, Pusha said himself that he believes that the Clips were the first internet darlings.
I don't know.
And I don't know if the first, but they were definitely early on that.
They were
early on it. So with that, Push has always been this guy who was underrated. Just everything that he did, people really liked and people really took to Push. And I'd say within Good Music, now since signing to Good Music, it's sort of turned left. So now you've got Pusha T and his Adidas. You've got Pusha T, and I mean just his branding as a person, his interviews, the things that he says, his presence on Twitter, people still buy play clothes, his fashion sense, all these other factors, he's able to get into multiple lanes and people will gravitate to it because they like Pusha. Like just his whole persona and his brand is very likable. And it also doesn't hurt that, again, he can rap really good. He just as I've heard many people say, he makes me want to sell drugs. And I think that dynamic, as somebody who loved gangster movies growing up, you almost want to jump into a completely different world that you know you would never function in just to see what it's like. And there's a conviction and a realism in what Pusha does that people gravitate to. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay. So it also did not hurt up until this point that he has a really good track record with music. So we've got Clips albums that were, for the most part, all good to great. Yeah, well received. That's a good word.
I don't know how good that last Clips album is, but
I gotta hear it again. I remember liking it when it first came out, but I haven't heard it in a while. And then, you know, features and, you know, he's just doing, every time he comes out, it's purposeful. It's not your Lil Wayne verse where he's just rapping with everybody. When you see Pusha T's on a record, something about the record changes. Even a record like Move That Dope, it just added a rawness to it. Because you take away Pusha away from that record, you've got Future, Pharrell, and what, Casino? That record doesn't do the same thing.
I think that record is Pharrell's, though. I think that's why that record really works. But I hear you.
So you think it's Pharrell's in terms of his verse?
Yeah.
I think his verse is dope. And I think Pharrell's guest verses are understated. But I think Pusha just adds a rawness to it.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. I think there's a reason why Pharrell closes that song out.
He doesn't close the record out. Casino, whoever that. There's four verses on that record. I know you're gonna.
I don't have that version. I don't know what you're talking about.
Shocking. So take away the intro to Don't Like. Who else on that beat? Who else does well on that beat? Sean's verse is cool. I like Sean's verse.
I know you don't like Kanye's part.
Nah. I mean, his verse is better than Jadakiss. Jadakiss was terrible on that beat.
Yeah, I heard that the other week and I was like, nope.
I'm just mad that the extended Pusha verse, I'm mad they cut that acapella.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
The whole acapella is great.
Right.
But so I guess we're leading all up until this point. So the first record that we heard, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into the album?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the first record we heard was Untouchable, correct?
That's right. And there was a little bit of a buzz around it because he's taking a couple shots.
First off, it's a Timbaland record. Mm-hmm. It's Timbaland doing his Pharrell/Kanye impersonation. And Push is taking shots. But I remember, what was our reaction to this record?
We thought it was good. I don't know if we thought it was great. We thought it was good.
It made me want to listen to Lunch Money. And it was funny because when Lunch Money came out, Lunch Money made me want to listen to Numbers on the Boards.
I went back and listened to Lunch Money and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Bugging. That beat is extremely busy, but I love it.
It's very, very busy. It's very busy.
It's the Mario. It's the Mario Star of instrumentation. It's that's what that beat is. But I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
Don't you mean the Hotline Bling?
Oh, bang, bang. Okay.
Anyway, so we heard Untouchable, and then we heard MFTR.
Yep, More Famous Than Rich. Video came out for that today.
Yep. And then we heard Crutches, Crosses, Caskets.
Yep.
Anything we didn't hear, but we didn't hear anything else, which is good because there's only like 10 songs in this project.
Yeah, I listened to a verse of More Famous Than Rich, and I didn't listen to Crutches, Crosses, and Caskets at all.
I think I did the exact same thing as you. So going into this, what were your expectations?
I'm not gonna front. The more I heard Untouchable, and the more, and you know what? I take that back. I heard a piece of Crutches, Crosses, and Caskets maybe like a day or two before the album came out. And I can't front, I was a little worried.
Mm.
But I'll be able to explain that further as we go track by track.
Okay.
But I was looking forward to this because I'm a Pusha T fan. My name is Dope. And just even the production credits, you know, Kanye and Dream and Q-Tip and Jill Scott and
I was like, okay. There's a lot of Timbo.
Yeah, it's Timbo. I was like, oh, okay. Let's go. Like I'm very interested to hear this. So I was looking forward to it.
These are very interesting production credits. There's a lot of people who worked on a 10 song album. So let's go. Intro. It's just called Intro. produced by Metro Boomin, this dude named J Graham, Puffy, and somebody named G Coop.
Did we ever figure out everything that was going on with this beat?
So I think it's just a case where, considering you've got like this dude J Graham on Twitter basically talking about like how he produced this thing, but then Pusha's talking about like Metro Boomin. I'm guessing it's a case where like, you know, maybe J Graham works with Metro or something, and Metro touched it up, or I don't know what the deal is, but you know,
yeah.
First of all, this doesn't sound like a Metro Boomin record. There's no Metro Boomin tag. A lot of these records have like very like just tons of combinations of people. You get the feeling like a lot of these records have been sort of like sitting around and sort of have been touched up on as like different studio cycles have gone through, if that makes sense. This beat is interesting.
Yes, it is.
It hits.
Yes, it does.
I just wish there was a second move.
I think there's enough in it for me to not need a second move.
Yeah, it's good that it's only 2.5 minutes.
Yep.
Because this beat only has one move and it's a good move.
Yep.
But I kind of like, it's a very interesting move. Like I was kind of hoping that it was like, oh, but as is, it's still pretty good.
I definitely got an O when I first heard it.
Yeah. It's the first time you hear it. I don't know how much I love the replay value on it, but the first time you hear it, you're like, oh.
Yeah. I love the tempo on it. I like Push. It's really interesting pushing these different tempos.
Oh, I got a lot of opinions about this.
Yeah. There's a couple of records that, it's weird. There's a Pusha wheelhouse, mm-hmm. and then you hear him on a couple of records sort of wanting to stretch outside of those or being stretched outside of that wheelhouse. And it's very interesting to see. I think in this one, he does a good job. He does an all right job at navigating through this beat. But I don't really have any complaints about this record. I like it.
The only comment I have, and I'm sort of echoing, I think, what you're saying a little bit is, well, actually, maybe not. As I listen to this, I've started to realize, is Pusha's shtick running thin with me?
Yes. I'll just go ahead and say it's definitely running thin with me.
It is. It's totally running thin. And this album just makes that abundantly clear. And in fact, I'm going to call out a couple things because, you know, we're Clive Rose Beers. This is what we do. Like, not it's not that we hate things. It's that we're like critical. We have an eye for this stuff. And there's some stuff. And here's what I really do think that some of these might be like leftovers because there are vocal. There are like types of bars that he falls back on. Like,
yes.
And it's not even just like, oh, that's his trademark or that's his thing. It's like some of this just feels lazy, which is not a term I've really ever used with Pusha T. So
yeah, I've never, let me just say this first and foremost. I've never heard Doc critique Pusha ever.
So let's talk about Untouchable, which a lot of people seem to like. Produced by Timbo and his new guy, Millie Beats. How do you feel about this record? This beat is not great, right? It's trying to be something, and it doesn't quite work.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's Timbaland doing his best Kanye Pharrell impersonation, and this just makes me want to hear other Pusha T records that were better.
Yeah. Pusha's flow on this doesn't really, like, I get the feeling they're going for, right? It's not even just the Biggie sample. Like, they're going for that sort of, like, very cold-sounding record.
He said this record is evil. He said it's dark.
Right. They're going for that feel.
Yeah.
The beat doesn't quite get there, to me. And Pusha's flow, in a sense, you know, I'll tell you, this is the one side benefit of me having this playlist to talk about on Side A, this playlist that I use when I'm working out in the mornings, which is a lot of, like, 96, 97 Big and J. For a lot of these, like, records from the 90s where we talk about, like, you know, these really, like, aggressive, not even aggressive, like, it's, you know, really fast, but it's, like, sinister. That was the term I used with Jay Givens, right? I called it these sinister records. This is trying to be a sinister record.
It is.
Push is not being sinister. Like, not even compared to, like, Jay and Nas. I mean, Jay and Biggs, that's an unfair comparison. But even just compared to, like, what Pusha can do. Like, we've heard, like, Keys Open Doors. Like, right. I know. So, I know he can do it. But this just isn't there. There's a thin line between good and great. And on this record and on a lot of records on here, Pusha is dipping under that line. And those details matter. I know he's been around for a while. I know everybody eventually sort of slips and falls off.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing so far with Intro and Untouchable, this is the beginning. These are not, like, you can't even compare. Like, the first two records on My Name Is My Name, which is only 2 years ago, completely obliterate these. I mean, that first record called King Push was crazy.
Yeah.
And the numbers on the boards is insane.
Yeah.
And these aren't the same. They're okay, but not really great. What do you think?
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. I think from here, it goes down a little bit.
Well, that's interesting. So MFTR, More Famous Than Rich, featuring The Dream, produced by, we got a whole motley crew here, Boy Wonder, Frank Dukes, Hudson Mohawk, and The Dream. This song has grown on me. I like this beat.
I want to like this beat.
I do.
I really want to like it.
I like the beat. I like The Dream on the hook, too.
I kind of like Dream on the hook. This is a record where it's like, everything about it says like this record, but something about it is just meh.
And for me, more importantly, whether it's the tempo or even just the drum pattern, Pusha, you said the word navigate earlier. I love that term when you talk about flow. Pusha knows how to navigate this beat.
Yeah, this is his
wheelhouse. And when we say that, like, I don't want people to think that I want Pusha to make the same type of record. You can make different sounding songs that still get an artist in the right wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
And this record, to me, this gets him in his wheelhouse.
Got you.
I have two complaints about this song. And one of these complaints is really an overarching complaint with Push on this album, which is, can he retire the I'm the insert historical or famous figure of the something related to drugs?
I tweeted about that last week. Yeah.
He uses it in multiple parts. Like, multiple times on this album.
Yeah.
So that's what when I said earlier, like, there are sort of some things that I feel like he's falling back on as a crutch.
Yep.
Like, that, every time I hear that now, do you remember how, it's funny, because in, like, 5 years, I'm sure we'll look back on this and go, why did we care about this? But, like, it's one of those things where once you notice it, it drives you crazy.
And because he did it so well, Hans Water, the Crime Lords, is one of my favorite lines from him. Pain is a great record, too. I meant to say that, too.
Pain is a really good record.
Pain is so dope. And
there are really only two records on that album, and they're back to back, so you can just skip right through them.
Which ones? The Kelly Rowland record
and then the one with Jeezy.
Oh, No Regrets.
Yeah, you could just skip past those two, and the rest of it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. I think lyrically, it's the first time you saw Hot Sauce put the ball in his shirt. So the first time he does it, it's like, yo, it's Hot Sauce, period.
So, now, just to clarify, for those who aren't up on their and one era, You're not talking about an actual hot sauce. You're talking about...
No, I'm actually talking about the Cornrode dribbling machine hot sauce.
You talking about Jadakiss hot sauce to go? Boom, 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 boom.
I used to like
hot sauce to
go. Oh, man. This is what happens when you... Listen, man. You got to tell Pharrell what to do. You can't let Pharrell bring you a record unless you're like Jay-Z or somebody, because he just be bringing like, ooh, I think Pharrell is like one of those guys where he's like, he's too much of a genius for his own good. Like his ideas are so out there. It's kind of like, I didn't work with that guy.
Can you imagine the studio session where he's selling Jadakiss on? No, listen, hot sauce to go. That's the
actually. Go ahead.
That's the single. That's the record. We're gonna whisper the hook.
Or no. What if Jadakiss was originally like, if he was rapping on the hook, like he's like hot sauce to go. And Pharrell was like, no, hold on, get out the booth real quick. I'm gonna do it. And he's like, should I whisper this? He's like, they're like debating with people. They're having a discussion about it. It's two different tastes.
The only thing funnier would be if it was like Jay-Z doing the whisper J on that.
Hot sauce to go. Young.
If you had whisper J on your CRS bingo board.
There you go. Yeah, go ahead and put that up. Put those numbers on the board.
So MFTR.
I actually can't. Hold on, let me make this last point. I actually can't imagine Jadakiss or Pharrell selling at the Jadakiss, because the Jadakiss album that I heard this year is full of records that Jadakiss should have turned down. And Jada's like, yeah, they might. I feel like Jadakiss is too optimistic for his own good. I feel like he's just like, happy to be
here.
Yeah, he's just happy to be here. He's like, you know what? I could really be out here selling drugs. I could be getting shot at.
Which is actually a great attitude to have.
Sure. Absolutely. So I'll just, you know, whatever you want to do is cool.
And the other thing is, now look at his, I mean, I'm sure now, maybe not, but it's entirely plausible as well that Pharrell was like, look, I've got this, you know, when he gives him what was that record on the Clips first album that never came out and turned into Knock Yourself Out.
Yeah.
Like if Jada was like, sure, yeah. And like if Pharrell comes back with a record, you're like, yeah, Knock Yourself Out really worked. Let's try that again.
Right. I didn't even think of that. You're right.
That's part of it too. You know, you get trust. Like I'm sure after Knock Yourself Out, I'm sure he could have given Jada would have been like, whatever you say, man. Because Knock Yourself Out was huge.
Right. Great record. So
and,
yeah.
And also more whispering on the hook.
Oh, it is, huh?
Knock Yourself Out. Hot sauce to go. See, it's the same.
Wow, this is like the freaking mind-blown gif of Clock. I just realized that. You're absolutely right. I'm good, though. Yeah, so More Famous Than Rich, you're right. It's totally Push's wheelhouse. It's different, but just something about it that I'm not... Like, I like the keys. I like Dream. Push, it's just everything should... make me like it, but for whatever reason I don't.
I feel like they should call it Amen.
He's already got a record called Amen.
I know. Well, look, he made a song called King Push. Now he's going to have two albums with King Push in the title. I don't think he cares about that.
Yeah. Actually, Amen is a great record too, besides Kanye. They really didn't need Kanye on their record.
I went back and listened to Fear God. There are some records, but there's also a lot of trash on there too.
Yes, there is. I agree.
But because it was a mixtape, we didn't care.
We just wanted a mixed and mastered version. That's what we got with Fear God too, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my God.
Alone in Vegas.
Yeah, there's some records on there.
Open Your Eyes.
Oh, Open Your Eyes. That song never got mixed and mastered, though.
I think you're right. That's a great record, though.
That is a very
Knotts is a very bad man for that.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
One side note about the concept of this song. So you talk about like the brand of Pusha.
Yeah.
More Famous Than Rich is right in line with his brand.
Absolutely, it is.
Like Pusha, because I mean, what Pusha's trying to say is he'd rather be more rich than famous. And it's like, is he, or is that just how it worked out? Like,
well, it's funny because if you hear his interviews on Hot 97 with this King Push album, he's saying like, I'm trying to expand my market. So basically, he's making shiny suit records
with this.
No, with King Push.
Oh, you know why? Because this is the infamous I went in the studio with Pharrell.
Well, I think what it is that Pusha T, the brand, is surpassing Pusha T, the artist. Mm. So he's thinking, well, you know what? I'm in all of these different places because of my brand, but I want to be in these places because of my music. Because you can tell Pusha cares about being considered elite. And I have a very, very interesting question about Pusha's eliteness or greatness. I posed it on Twitter, but I want to have a conversation with you and we can talk about that when we wrap the album up.
Interesting. Hmm. Yeah, I think the other piece, this might be, because we haven't heard King Push. It might be that this is the, I need to give my hardcore fans their album. This might be the Fab approach.
That is possible.
Right? It might be the, they're not going to, you know, King Push is taking some risks. So I got to give them Crutches, Crosses, Caskets. I got to give them Untouchable. I got to give them Beanie Siegel, which we'll talk about soon.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Crutches, Crosses, Caskets, which is actually very difficult to say over and over again.
Ain't it though?
Produced by, there's quite a list here. Puff.
Okay.
Mario Winans.
Okay.
Sean C and LV.
Okay. Shout out to Sean C and LV. Get them some work post American Gangster, please.
I was actually wondering, how old is this beat? Honorable C Note and Young Dev. I'm guessing those last two came in and, you know, you hear like that little synthy bass line at times. Like, honestly, when I read the production list, I realized, I wonder if this has really been lying around and has just been touched up lately.
Mm. The synthy bass is the best part of this record.
It actually really works.
Yeah.
The beat is good. Not great, but it's good. No, not on board with the beat.
This song is boring.
Song is cool.
I am bored.
It's only, again, this is another record that needed a second move.
It is very short. Well, the second move is the bass line.
Right, but I feel like it's 2:24. Here's a case where this song could have been longer with a real second move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This only has two verses, right?
Yeah.
So if the third verse is a second move, now we, you know, got a song.
I also feel like Puff, he probably told Puff, like, give me something that Biggie would. I could hear Biggie on this record.
Yeah, totally.
Biggie would have made this interesting.
Here's another I'm the blank of the blank. Happens again on this song.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. It's not the worst song on this album.
No, it's just boring.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. And you're not, like, if I told you Pusha T over an American Gangster leftover, would you ever describe that as boring?
No.
Yeah, that's really, it's an unusual, I said lazy before, like words like lazy and boring. These are not Pusha T adjectives.
Not at all. Come on. Like if we're glamorizing the drug game.
Right.
What drug movie or show or whatever have you ever watched a documentary that had a lapse of boredom in it? It's like nonstop just stuff. So, but this isn't that.
MPA. Featuring Kanye, ASAP, and The Dream, produced by Kanye, Che Pope, and J. Cole.
Yep.
What do you think about this?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yawn.
Oh no,
I really didn't mean to yawn. Though this beat is boring. The hook is boring.
Hmm, interesting.
I have an appreciation for the lyrics, though. It's a story.
I like this record. Go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't like it at first altogether, but having conversation, this is the good thing about having conversations with people, because, you know, Clock Radio speakers, like, everybody was like, yo, Armand, how you feel about da-da-da-da? But it's good because you hear different people's perspectives, and a friend of the show from the B-side, shout out to Dez, he really was, like, adamant about the content on this record. He was like, go back and listen to what Pusha is saying in the verses, and I did. And it gave me a greater appreciation. Like, oh, okay. I can appreciate what, you know, the content and the approach. But overall, I'm good. This record is boring.
This beat has got to be a Dark Twisted Fantasy leftover.
Like good for, like this is, maybe this is what Cole, well.
This sounds exactly like Gorgeous.
It does. It has those same, has those guitar. Now, according to Pusha, he caught Cole when Cole came to Virginia for the Forest Hills Drive tour, and they cooked it right up on the bus.
Cole did the last part of the beat. That's it.
I say that to say, this could have very well been during those Good Friday Looking for Trouble sessions. Mm.
He had it lying around. He's like, I need to finish it off. J. Cole comes in, does the end, and that's it.
Yep.
Ultimately, I like this song. It's an interesting song concept, especially coming from Pusha, right? So it's interesting to talk about like how the content is good. It's difficult to hear it though coming from Pusha. Much like I had trouble hearing Rick Ross talk about certain things that aren't in the Rick Ross character, like the Pusha T character. You just had a record called More Famous Than Rich, and now you want to talk about money, women, and alcohol? Like, you just spent your whole career bragging about having this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're doing it on this album. and you're going to do it again.
Yeah.
But in the middle, you decide to get a conscience.
Yeah.
It's a little unusual.
Yeah.
If you hear the song like completely isolated, it's like, okay, this is an interesting record. But then when you hear it like as a part of this project, you're like, huh? I don't know. And maybe I'm being closed-minded about what a Pusha T record can be, but like, I don't know.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I'm used to my rappers being contradictive. I think we're all contradictive just as humans, but
walking contradictions. Rappers,
yeah, we're all walking contradictions. But I think like to a degree, I'm used to it from rappers, so it doesn't really bother me as much. I didn't come with that sort of perception that you did. I totally get you saying that. And I was like, hey, here's the different record on the album. Here's the conceptually different record than everything else. And it sort of contradicts everything else that he's saying.
It's funny because I'll openly admit, I have issues when rappers are contradictory. It's arguably my biggest problem with Tupac's music. Nobody was more contradictory and applauded for it than Tupac Shakur.
Mm.
Listen, there are Tupac albums I love. There are Tupac records that are classics. We all know this. But nobody was more contradictory than him. And right. So that's interesting, right? You're right, though. Everybody is contradictory in some way. But, man, this is an unusual song to put in the middle of it. But, yeah, the feel of it, again, I just think it screams that sort of 2010 good music era. There's a couple records in here where I'm like, wonder how long this has been around.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Got him covered. Featuring Ab Liva, produced by Timbaland and Millie Beats.
You know what's amazing? You saying that this features Ab Liva makes me realize that I have not heard Ab Liva on this record yet. And I'm a Ab Liva fan. I think Ab Liva is very dope.
What?
I always thought that every single Re-Up Gang freestyle was always neck and neck with him and Pusha.
What is happening on this beat?
I can tell you. You want me to tell you?
You're going to pull up the video of Busta Rhymes in the studio with Timbaland?
Clap off. Come on. Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, just Google Busta Rhymes Timbaland Studio or YouTube Busta Rhymes Timbaland Studio. It's hilarious. This is somebody sneaking into their own house and they get to the kitchen and they trip over every single pot and pan. Like, it's almost like the kitchen where like the pots and pans are hanging up. So they just like they run into one and they fall over, like they step on a toy or something like that, and they knock over every single pan. That's what this beat sounds like.
I have made beats that I think are great, and then when I hear them the next day, I want to delete them because I wondered what happened. I just wonder if there was no next day for Timbaland when he got this in. Like, I could see how you talk yourself, because like you can get really inside of your own head when you're making a beat. I could hear them be like, okay, well, what is this key? Oh, we could take this keyboard sound and add this one and add these other three. And you're talking yourself into how dope it is. And you're getting excited because being in the studio or when you're in a creative process, things can get kind of weird.
Absolutely.
And then when you hear it again later, you're like, oh, no. This is not in any way a good beat. I've seen people online praising this beat, which I feel that, if you like, and this is interesting, like to me, like if you hear this beat and you like it, I think you fundamentally misunderstand why Timbo's beats used to be great. It's not because they used weird keyboard sounds. It's because what he was doing with rhythm and tempo was unprecedented in hip hop. Nobody else was doing it.
Right.
It was because he would meld samples with this whole new thing. Like he was doing something that was different. It's not that he was hitting three buttons in a row on the top of his keyboard and pressing record.
I'm not gonna lie though, I feel like Missy would kill this.
Oh, how do you feel about that Missy record?
I haven't heard it outside of the Samsung commercials. I still haven't seen the video yet.
I mean, that's all you need.
I mean, it's a Missy record. I'm cool with it.
Interesting. She went to Pharrell and she didn't go to Timbo.
Oh, that's Pharrell. That's not Timbo.
That's Pharrell.
Oh, it is Pharrell. Interesting.
Yeah, this is a terrible. So, what was the record on? Hell Hath No Fury.
Which one?
The one that everybody hates.
Trill?
No. We talked about this before. Wait, Trill's incredible. Stop it.
Trill's terrible.
I once heard somebody describe Trill as what it might sound like if if it sounded like Halloween scary music. I was like, yes, I love Trill. All right. No. I'm talking Aintcha.
Oh, yeah. Aintcha was bad.
You know what, though? Aintcha was so much better than this. This record is terrible.
I still haven't heard Aintcha. I can't get past the, like the second or third time he does it on the hook. I'm like, nah, I can't do this.
Right. And yet you haven't even gotten to Ab Live's part on this.
And I'm very upset about that. I need to go back and at least give my man Liva 16 bars for him to say what he has to say. Because I'm a Liva fan. I like Liva a lot.
This is terrible. Like, I don't even...
The only other tall rapper I know besides Jay and me. That's it.
Speaking of Jay, the ghost of Jay-Z hangs over this pretty heavy, doesn't it?
How do you figure that? What era, first off, what era Jay and how and what is your theory?
I mean, like, got him covered. It, you know, there's... interpolation Squeeze First.
I didn't get that far. But the beat does kind of sound like the...
Dun, 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 right. Dun, dun. I feel in general, like, these beats sound like Pusha heard Magna Carta Holy Grail and said, that's what I need. This is like Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Who says that?
This is like Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Right mind hears Magna Carta Holy Grail and says, and gets inspired.
It's the same. What do we got? Puff, Tarius, Timbaland? It's the same people.
Puff was on Magna Carta Holy Grail?
I'm just guessing he puffed his way into it. He bopped into the studio. I don't know.
He's probably on BBC somewhere.
Oh, actually, you might. Yeah, I feel like he might be.
It's a very Puff Daddy record. he puffed his face. that was a good one.
Now I'm trying to laugh. No, this, got some Kanye in here. Got some, you know, it's a very much a, I don't know. It's like some of this. Oh, yeah, no. No, I just feel like in general, there's like a, just some of this stuff just feels like, it feels like Magna Carta, actually. That's not a compliment. But let's talk about a song I do like.
Okay.
Keep Dealing, featuring Sigur Sigur. Produced by, talk about a blast in the past, Nasheem Myrick.
Wow.
And Puffy.
Wow.
Right.
This record.
This is hard.
This record is like scary. It's very haunting.
This is what I was waiting for.
This, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This record is very dope.
I love this beat.
Yeah, I really like the drums. It's like a throwback to like maybe 97.
It's Nasheem Myrick.
Yeah.
If it turns out that he has been sitting up somewhere and he's just making 1997 Hitman records, well, who knows? Maybe this is just like, you know what? I got this I got a couple left in me.
Listen, like I told you, once producers who were on top for a period, once they fall off, it doesn't necessarily mean that they got bad in most cases. Sometimes it's just the sound evolves and another producer comes and now they're the hot producer of the moment. I still feel like you can go to a Buck Wild. You can go to another producer who we're going to be talking about shortly. Like, they're probably sitting on some amazing beats.
Right.
And but then because, like I said, Lil Jon's sitting on Illmatic. I'm convinced.
I'm trying not to do... You know what the problem is? Like, white guys just can't do any Lil Jon ad-libs because we just sound like a drunken buffoon imitating Dave Chappelle.
Right. It was funny. The spot I went to this weekend, he did a short Lil Jon set.
Mm.
And like, but it was old. It was like pre-Kings of Crunk.
Oh, so not Lil a lot Jon. Of Bohagan?
Oh, man, nah. No Bohagan slander. That's not what we're doing. We're not doing Bohagan slander. No, it's like when Trillville came, that's when things got a little, that's the beginning of the end. Though Headbuster is a classic record. But yeah, it was like, you know, what they gonna do and couldn't be a better player than me with Too Short. Like, I was like, man, you could do a good solid half hour, 45 minute set of Lil Jon if you just play like little quick bits. I think it's coming to that time.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if it turns out that we get back to the place where people want to hear, like, you know, those mid-2000s, you know, sample some souls, get some Just Blaze drums and everything, I'm going to be ready.
It's coming. Know? Yeah, it's coming.
I can crank those out like nothing.
Yeah. You just sit, all those beats that we're sitting on in Dropbox, like, go right ahead and just tweak them up and getting ready because your time is coming. But yeah, and we just got a old school hip hop station in Columbus. So it's
how old does that make you feel?
Oh man, it makes me feel great actually.
What's the newest record they're playing?
They're going like two. I heard Tipsy. Tipsy's probably the newest they're going.
I was just gonna say, if you're hearing if it's anything after the emergence of Kanye West, I'm gonna feel really.
Nah,
that's like that 2004 is like a dividing line right now.
Yeah, nah, I don't think I might have heard like a Sierra Goodies or something like that, maybe. But no, for the most part, right now it's brand new, so like they're still getting DJs and like, you know, so when a station first starts, they just play music nonstop.
Right.
So I mean, they're playing everything from they're playing Onyx, they're playing Moni Love, they're playing like really deep. They play Domino Ghetto Jam. That just warmed my heart. But I say that to say, like, yeah, Lil Jon's time is coming, man. Like, it's about time for that. We're going to hear the Let's Get Married remix in the club very, very soon. It's going to come back. Rev Run going to start picking up checks again for club walkthroughs to perform that verse.
We haven't even talked about Beanie Siegel yet.
I'm not going to front, man. This verse hurts to hear. Have you heard the Rap Radar interview with him?
No.
It's really good. So basically, he talks about in the interview what happened when he got shot last year, how serious it was. And he said that when he got shot, I forgot what gun it was. I don't know if it was a 38 or a 380 or a Glock, something like that. It was a powerful weapon. And it took a piece of his lung out.
Right.
So because of that, he has to punch in. He said when he performs, it's a little better because he knows the flow so he can play with it. But like he can't one take a record anymore.
I was going to say, how did he perform at that title thing for Jay?
I don't know. I got to go back. I got to go back and watch that because I'm sure with State Property with him, they're able to ad lib and he can take a breath.
Right. But I mean, he sounds like what would happen if Darth Vader took off his mask. Like that's how Beanie Siegel sounds right now. And you know what, though? It works. Like on this song, it actually kind of works because this is a sinister record.
This is a sinister record. And it sounds like Siegel is where Pusha T is going to.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like Siegel's sort of like the OG, the old head. Like, hey, you remind me of me when I was 35.
Yeah, except I was going to say Pusha's not exactly a young head.
Not at all. That's the crazy part. But I mean, Siegel sounds like
a
vet. He sounds like a vet. But to me, the song is great. The song is super, super dope.
Yeah. Let's talk about Retribution featuring Kalani, produced by Timbo. And yep. Another of his new producers, Def Beats. Really? Okay. Everybody got to throw beats at the end. Thanks, Swiss. That's the truest legacy of Swiss Beats.
So they're jacking your slang.
Honestly...
They seem the same happen to Kane.
You know what it is? I think I've explained this, right? Like, I don't, like, Armand never lists me as, like, produced by, like, Doc Beats or anything like that. It's because that's literally just my Twitter handle. Because you're not going to get at Doc. Like, that was taken a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you've never been Doc Beats. No. But, like, anytime I hear people talk to you, they're like, yeah, we've got a Doc Beats.
I'm like, oh, God, no.
Doc Beats.
Doc Beats. Yeah. Anyway, Retribution. How do you feel about this?
Much better Timbaland beat.
It's okay.
Maybe because... Hold on. Anything's better than... I said better. It's better than Got Him Covered. It's a very typical Timbaland beat.
Hmm.
I mean, just the tempo, the percussion in it, it just sounds like a Timbaland beat. It sounds like a... What was that album that had... Apologize and
oh yeah, I guess the synth kind of sounds value. Like that, yeah.
So it felt like Timbaland circa Shock Value, so circa like 2007. The record is cool. Pusha has no idea what to do with this beat.
No clue. Yeah.
Nobody, and I do not like this hook. This is my first time hearing Kalani, and for the people who I've seen praise her for this year, y'all gotta point me to a song or a project. A song. Give me like two songs if you're listening to the show and you're a fan of Kalani. Hit me up at Armand Wake Up or hit me at CRS Podcast and let me know like you know, what I need to listen to really get into this, to Kalani, because this hook doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. I've seen people praise Tink as well. This whole new generation of Timbo, like, I don't really like any of these people.
I feel like these I think people like Tink because, again, they like the idea of Tink. So Tink is like the love child of Missy and Lauren and like all of these 90s female artists that Timbaland worked with. I do like what she did with Moving Bass. I did like that, but anything else that I've heard, nah.
Speaking of Timbo, you see he's got a mixtape serving as a prelude to his new album, but he's got a mixtape coming on Christmas Day.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I saw Tory Lanez is putting out a mixtape on Christmas too. And speaking of, I feel like do we need to have a Meek Mill conversation on the show? Just how crazy and not good of a year he's having?
I mean, we're going to talk about it next week, right?
Okay. Yeah, because I need to go back and listen to Dreams Worth More Than Money.
I did, and I've got some opinions.
Okay.
Shocking.
Okay.
But no, I guess the big deal is he's going to have an appearance from Aaliyah.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Oh, okay. That's what I was going to say. Oh, you know what? After Thanksgiving, I don't know if I want to hear any holiday projects, because Fab is dropping Young OG Project 2.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't know if I want to hear. I don't.
You don't want to hear anything on Christmas Day?
I don't think so. Other than sleigh bells ringing. That's about it.
It's funny. I found it's a playlist of like on Apple Music of like, you know, it's soul music from like the 60s and 70s, but it's, which of course I listen to all the time. But it's like 60s and 70s soul Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was like, should I sample any of these? Don't worry, I didn't.
No.
But the thought crossed my mind.
No.
And that's when I realized we need more Amon Christmas records.
You know, it's funny. I was going to do a Christmas record, but I'm not in the Christmas spirit. Like, I haven't been for a few years.
Not in the Christmas spirit?
Nah, not really. I think the older you get, like, the better Thanksgiving gets.
Thanksgiving? No.
And, yeah, I mean, it's Christmas. Yeah, I'm not. I'll get in the Christmas spirit one day. I actually have some access to some Christmas-themed beats, some samples. So I might do something eventually. But
is it going to sound like Wu-Tang's Dashing?
if you don't know what Doc is talking about, YouTube Wu-Tang Dashing.
Retribution. Yeah. I don't like the hook. I don't really like the beat, actually. The little mini beat switch, that's a little better, but I don't really like, and I agree. I don't like what this beat forces Pusha to do with his flow. He has no idea what to do with this.
Which is amazing because it's a faster beat, and I feel like rappers like Pusha, and I've even heard people say this about me, when the tempo is a little more faster and it's driving, it forces rappers to sort of compress what we're saying and to get it out with a sense of fervency. And most of the time it works, you know. So I've heard people tell me that, like, they like me more. My wheelhouse is high 80s to like low 90s or whatever. But I've heard people say when I get in the upper 90s that I'm in some instances better. And I feel like Pusha's supposed to do that.
I think because I just don't think he catches the beat right.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this tempo isn't hard to catch.
Maybe it's possible he just didn't get it.
It's not a hard, because really it's the same tempo as Six God. It's just the drums on Six God are different.
Drums are different. And, you know, and this is interesting. Like, when I think of Pusha, I don't think of somebody who's known for having a variety of flows.
I don't either.
Right. Drake can do that because that's his whole thing.
Yes.
Drake will take your flow, he'll take your flow, he'll do this, he'll sing a little bit over it, and now you're looking mad because you don't know why this dude's so successful. Like, that's Drake's whole shtick. That is not Pusha's shtick.
No.
Right.
No. And you guys are really I'll talk about it all right here.
FIFA, produced by Q-Tip. So when I first heard this, I texted you. I was like, old drums, a weird sample. I was convincing myself. I was like, yeah. And then I was like, nah, I don't think so. But I sort of slowly came around. It's okay. I actually don't really love the way it opens, but like as it goes on, it kind of works, and it's a really short song, so it's not that big of a problem. But it's an okay song. So I should say produced by Q-Tip. I don't know if I said that before. What do you think about FIFA?
This is one of those records. When I first heard it, I was like, no. Then it grew on me. Then I played it again yesterday and today, and I was like, eh.
You and I had complete opposite cycles.
Right.
There.
Yeah. Right. So, but the funny part, I do like the switch up in the keys.
Yeah, the switch up.
I like
works.
That part. Right. Yeah, but I don't like the initial keys. I'm like, what's going on here? It's like a Scooby Doo mystery. It's just like, but yeah, I wanted to like this record. It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
Okay. Last but not least on the album, we have Sunshine, featuring Jill Scott, produced by Bauer, Kanye, and Million Dollar Mano.
Is that Mano like his DJ?
Yeah, his DJ.
Or his ex-DJ?
His ex-DJ. Again, how long has this been lying around? Right. Yeah. The beat is okay. It works.
I'll say this, though.
Yeah.
I think Push's lyrics make this song. This is one of those records where... And I'm not saying like the okay, correct, because I know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the picture that he paints, it makes me want to hear what he has to say. Versus, it's drug talk, but it's like a different perspective of it. And from somebody who I've been hearing nonstop drug talk from for over 10 years, I'll take that different perspective.
I just don't think it's very good. Like, that's actually my problem, is that I don't really like his flow on this at all. I think that, I don't know, like, because you know me. I mean, it's funny, right? I said this on Saturday. Like, I now host a political podcast. Like, I'm really, like, into, like I pay a lot of attention to politics. I pay a lot of attention to the sorts of things that Push is talking about in the song. And, you know, I'm like, eh. Like, I appreciate the effort. I don't love the execution.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't... I don't think he's really saying anything that other people haven't said and said better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a good song. Like that's the real killer. Like I don't really, like the hook is okay. Don't really like the beat, and I don't even like the way that Push is rapping on it. So it's very, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like the different perspective, but I think just the song itself, like, am I rushing to it? It's weird. Like whatever background vocals or, are on Jill Scott's hook, like, I hate it. They just sound off. And I don't, yeah, like, this song is, it grew on me on, I was running errands on Saturday letting this album play. Yeah, my whole, I didn't even, like, talk about my Kanye story and all that stuff. I got the shoes this weekend and all that. But, like, yeah, I mean, and then it's just weird. It just ends the album and all of a sudden then I hear, you know, a Colombian guy talking about drugs. It's just, this is the end. Like, oh, okay, this is it. So, yeah, again, I like the perspective, but like the overall execution of this record, nah.
Right. But I feel like we're supposed to like this record.
Right.
Right. Pusha T again, is saying something. So hey, look at Pusha. Hey, he performed it on The Daily Show. Hey, we're supposed to like it. And it's like,
exactly.
What if it's just not good?
Exactly. Again, the idea of something is what we celebrate.
Right.
Rather than the execution of it. Like, hey, he's talking about something political. Well, what if his perspective is like absolutely asinine? What if it's just bad? What if it's wrong? Not even to say that, oh, you know, sure, we can all have our opinions. But what if his perspective on police brutality and race relations in our culture? And I'm just saying, like, in general, like what if somebody's perspective is totally wrong and like mind numbingly stupid? But are we going to celebrate it because we like the person and we like the idea of what he's saying because he's talking about Black Lives Matter, because he's talking about race relations, because he's talking about police brutality? That's often what we celebrate from what I see, rather than not only is he talking about something, what he's saying is of relevance and substance and it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So overall,
to me, it's just, I don't want to say it's wildly disappointing. I'll say it's disappointing. It's just one big old fat meh, you know. Untouchable has kind of grown on me in a weird way, but I still don't love it. MFTR I like. MPA is cool. Keep Dealing's pretty good. And the rest of this? Eh. Intro was cool the first like three times, and then I was like, okay, I know what this is doing. So, you know, that might be more than some other albums this year. This is a nowhere near a top 10. Nowhere near it. What do you think?
I'm not listening to this album after tonight.
Mm, there you go.
I have a Pusha T playlist on Spotify. I'll probably add Keep Dealing and the intro. That's about it. That's about it. I'm going to go back to My Name Is My Name. And I think Pusha needs to be quiet.
But people really like this.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I'm a little surprised too. No, they really like it.
Okay. Again, I think it's the idea of it. I think people like Pusha. And again, yeah, because when I said it, people were like, when I said what I said last week about, yo, these songs are starting to sound the same. They're not very good. I don't know if I'm excited for this album. The response I got was, well, you know, this is Pusha. And, you know, it's almost like this is what he's known for and he does it so well. Then we should appreciate what he's doing so well. So I begin to think about Pusha and then just the overall concept of greatness or the best or whatever. And I couldn't quite think of references to support the analogy that I came up with.
Okay.
So I compared it to basketball and I said, okay, so we consider people like Michael, Magic, you know what I'm saying? Shaq, Kobe, Wilt, you know, these are the greatest players ever. But somebody like, and I was thinking about it today. So maybe a Dennis Rodman or something like that, who was known for his defense, but like, did he have anything else? And because his focus was solely on defense and hustle, that was his main attribute. Does that make him a great player, or does that make him great for what he did? So in relation to Pusha, Pusha does this coke rap as we define it so well, but anything outside of that, not so sure. Also, the shtick is getting old.
The shtick's getting old. I agree with some of that. I was just looking back. I was trying to figure out the mixtape that came up for My Name Is My Name, which was Wrath of Cain.
Right. Which had all Millions and all that stuff.
Had Millions, had Blocka, which,
Blocka was bad.
Also, right. I mean, honestly, this is not a really strong tape. There's some records that are cool. Like the Bink record at the end is pretty good. The Ibliva record's cool. The one Neptune's record called Revolution is nice. But there's also a lot of, it's really interesting. Also, it's only 11 tracks. It's only 36 minutes long. Lots of short records. But it's a mixtape. It was marketed as a mixtape. It was given away for free. There was no real huge promotional push. I mean, there was videos for Millions and Blocka, I remember. But it's not like, I don't know.
The Black and White in Haiti movie.
Right. Part of me wants to go, well, if this prelude is to King Push, what Wrath of Cain is to My Name Is My Name is, then we're fine. We're totally okay. But I feel like for whatever reason, maybe because it might be a mixtape, but it's kind of being treated as an album. And for whatever reason, that makes me go, maybe not. Maybe, you know, because Fear of God was good, but wasn't great. Even mastering issues aside, you know what I mean? I mean, really, My Name Is My Name might be, maybe that's the, and I hate to say this as a big Pusha T fan, maybe that was the, here's my one solo. Because none of his mixtapes were great. This record is not really that good.
I think we can make that judgment when King Push comes out.
I would agree with that. But I just wanted to say, like, it's funny. As harsh as we were on this, we were also just as harsh when we reviewed Wrath of Cain.
Were we? Okay.
We were just like, skip, no good. Like, you know.
So you're saying we've been here before.
I'm saying if you treat this like the mixtape, like, here's the stuff, you know, basically, hey, don't forget about me, everybody. I'm still around. You know, like, let me circle back to what I was saying before, like, this whole new trend of putting out projects, you know, putting out your leftovers these are leftovers, I think. Like, you put out your leftovers as an actual project. On the one hand, if you're a really big fan, you get to hear stuff that you probably would have never heard before. On the other hand, you know, you are judged by your whole body of work as a musician, right? Like, it's not enough to just, if I put out everything I have, it actually, how you edit yourself as an artist matters. And I'll stop here, right? And so Pusha did not need to put this out. Not at all. At least for me. What's interesting, though, is that it's getting rave reviews, which I don't understand. Like, this is just not really, there's not much compelling about much of this. It's like you said, it's the idea of Pusha. It's the idea of him being this sort of last person to carry the torch.
Yeah.
Right. But the shtick of him is running thing. I don't think the coke rap shtick is running thing. I think he's got these little lyrical ticks that he falls back on. And I just don't think these beats are that inspired. I don't.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think.
I'm sorry. I realized I went off on a little side tangent there, but.
No, because I think you sort of summarized everything that I wanted to say. I'm not worried about King Push, but I'm actually shocked with how much. It wasn't even it was bad, it was boring.
Mm.
I was bored listening to this album. And for somebody who has, for the most part, entertained me for over 10 years with their music. Because, I mean, yeah, we could talk about Pusha. Because really, we could talk about Pusha T, the artist, and we could talk about his whole career, including Clips. So, remember, you've got the Clips albums, you've got the Re-Up Gang mixtapes, and then you have the Pusha T Good Music era. I'm largely entertained by the majority of that. Right. Very much entertained. So for this to be boring, not whack, not trash, but boring, I'm a little concerned about that. I do have a theory about me in music in 2015, just something I'm starting to realize, but I won't share that until we do our year-end show. And I'm wondering if it falls into that or if this album truly is just boring. And again, people are so in love with the idea of something that they don't realize this, or they don't want to accept it or live by it or what have you.
I think that Pusha does a really great job of understanding who his fans are. I think the move of putting lyrics up on Rap Genius first and letting the fans dissect it, like, you're paying attention to, you've already prejudged a record based off of the lyrics.
Yeah.
Which is like prejudging a movie based off the script.
Yeah.
You know, just because the script seems good, like, you don't know what the performances are going to be. You don't know what the cinematography is going to be. You don't know. Like, there's more to it than a script, and there's more to rapping than what's written down on Rap Genius.
Sure.
But Pusha's fan, I think Pusha has, not all of his fans, Pusha has a portion of a fan base that actually really does care about the writing, though. That is their most important thing.
Yep.
And for them, there's probably stuff on here that delivers.
Yep. Yeah. I agree.
You're right, though. King Push will tell us if this is a warning sign or if this is really just, look, I've got these other records.
Yeah.
You know, I can put this out right now. You know.
Excuse me. I think what was interesting is what throws it off is that he didn't present it like that. I think with Fear God and Wrath of Cain, it was presented as a mixtape. And maybe it's just our perception of what a mixtape is, where, okay, these records aren't mixed and mastered, sample clearances, they didn't fit with the theme of the album, they're good, but they're not as good to fit on the album, so I'm just going to throw these out. So maybe we give those a pass, but his whole approach and presentation with this was that it's an album.
Mm.
So when you say, well, yeah, these are throwaways, blah, 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 I'm not considering any of these records throwaways. Not with the way that you presented it, not with the caliber of production and hands that were on this project. I don't consider these throwaways. So maybe that's the cause of alarm for me, is like, you've got Timbo, Kanye, Q-Tip, all these people on your record, and I'm bored.
When was the last dope Timbaland beat?
Shh, man. You're gonna have to pause the show.
Hold on. We're going to go to his discography. There are people just yelling listening to this podcast right now.
Oh, here we go. Production discography. Hold up. Are they really yelling? Are they really?
They're yelling. He had a couple records on the Bryson Tiller.
I really don't think he did Sorry Not Sorry.
That's his new guy.
I just don't think he did Sorry Not Sorry. Nothing about that record says Timbaland to me.
He does all that stuff for Empire.
I've never heard any of that stuff on Empire. Yeah, because I'm looking now. It's like, he did two records on the Jodeci album. Yeah, none of this stuff. I guess I'm gonna have to go to 2014.
How did you feel about Tink's stuff this year?
Actually, I liked. Well, I don't remember. I think One in a Million was okay, but I don't think I've heard anything else. Moving Bass was okay. That's the remix. Never mind. And I don't like Timbaland's part of Blow on Beyonce's album.
I actually like that. That might be the one, maybe.
Nah, I love what Pharrell did with it. The switch, I'm good. Jason Derulo.
Yeah. Sorry we're being quiet, but we're literally sitting here going.
We're literally looking. I'm telling you, man, just cut all this stuff out.
Was it Love Never Felt So Good? That was actually, okay.
Like, yeah, the record was okay. I liked Never mind. He didn't do that. I was about to say, F with me, you know I got it. I like that record, but yeah. He didn't do that.
He didn't do that?
It's him, Boy Wonder.
Oh, that's all Boy Wonder though.
Yeah, right. Okay, so nothing on nothing.
I forgot about Know About Me.
It was Know About. Oh, that was the Drake record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot too.
Was it something on 2020?
Probably.
Wow.
I like
it depends on how you feel about these records on Magna Carta Holy Grail, right? Holy Grail.
Nope.
Picasso Baby.
That record aged really poorly. I liked that song a lot when it came out. But
Tom Ford.
Tom Ford was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked FUTW.
Yeah.
I like FUTW.
But I think it might be. Oh, wait. I forgot. What happened to J-Rock?
Ooh.
The guy who helped on all the 2020 experience and on his stuff on the Beyonce project. Like, he did all that stuff. Basically, everything that Timbo did from, like,
yeah,
Blueprint 3 up through 2020.
Oh, so we can blame him for off that. I just heard that the other day.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at 2020. Man, did they flub up 2020 or what?
What do you mean?
Like, if they would have basically took the first disc, added the Drake record, and I think there was one other record on the second disc.
I don't
disc.
Like the Drake record on the second
Drake disc. Record was cool.
No.
There was another record on the really second
like,
disc.
I didn't really like TKO or Take Back the Night.
No, Take Back the Night was dope. Stop playing.
It was cool. And it would have been better than, like, Blue Ocean Floor.
People like Blue Ocean Floor.
Yeah.
That record, I did like it, but then, like, right. The record made me sad.
Mm,
and I stay away from records that make
me sad. I forgot. 16 songs, and some of those songs are, like, 10 minutes long.
Yeah, most of them were 10 minutes long.
Right.
Yeah, nah. Oh, man. Strawberry Bubblegum, Don't Hold the Wall, Push a Lover Girl, Tunnel Vision, Spaceship Coupe. Yeah, man.
Dance,
let the groove
get
in.
Don't Hold the Wall. See, now I need to go back and listen to 2020.
I need to go
Push a Love Girl. Yeah. Push a Love Girl and Suit and Tie. I don't know how well those of age, we'll find out. But Strawberry Bubblegum, Don't Hold the Wall, Dance,
yep.
Tunnel Vision, that whole run.
That run.
Woo!
That run is nice. That run is very nice. And I remember not liking all those records. I remember liking that run, but I remember there's certain records on here like Don't Hold the Wall. I remember when we reviewed it, I was like, it's okay. Nah, that record is crazy. Yep. Yeah, Give Me What I Don't Know. I'm looking to say Give Me What I Don't Know, True Blood, TKO. Oh, yeah, I forgot about TKO. Murder, Drink You Away. You Got It On. Was that the one or Only When I Walk? One of those records.
Only When I Walk Away is the one. Isn't that the one that sounds like Oh, that's Drink You Away. Never mind. I was like, one of them sounds like Wait, what is Not a Bad Thing? That was a number one single? Huh.
Nope. Yeah. So the last great Timbaland production was definitely
2013.
All right. Yeah.
So every time I see people like, Pusha and Timbo. In fact, Pusha brags about working with Timbo on this. It's like, yeah, I mean, you're getting 2015, Timbo.
Again, it's the idea. Oh, right. Snap. Pusha T and Timbaland on paper, that sounds great. But it's like when Olajuwon went to the Raptors.
Oh no. Is Timbo at that stage of his career?
Well, I'm just saying, like, all right, when Malone and Peyton went to the Lakers. On paper, hey, you've got a team with Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton. You guys should win all the championships. Nope.
Hmm.
Nope. Hmm. On paper sounds great, but you fail to realize you're getting, what was it, 2004?
Yeah.
Was that when they was there? 2003, that's 2004. Right. You're getting 2004 Karl Malone and 2004 Gary Payton. Not the same thing.
Oh, remember that remix of TKO with J. Cole, ASAP, and Pusha?
No. I saw it. I was like, what?
Yep.
No, I don't remember that at all. I don't remember that at all.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Pusha T? Now that we literally went through and looked at Timbo's discography.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to make this 80s and 90s ballads playlist. And I need you to jump in there. And I'm going to listen to 2020. That'll take up the rest of my night. I don't have anything else to say about Pusha T other than please give us feedback.
Yes.
Let us know what you think. Are we crazy? Are our standards too high? Are we too haughty? As some people like to say we are. Hit us up at CRS Podcast, at Armand Wake Up, at Doc_Beats, S not a Z. And yeah, it's 2015 is about in the books, man. It's about time to get these lists popping.
People think we're haughty?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Even that response was haughty.